Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It felt like sometimes people were coming in to... because they'd had a bad day or been mistreated by somebody to like beat up on someone that they had being paid to stand there and listen to it. And it's just one of those things too, where you're like, oh, I'm not getting a tip from this asshole either. Oh,
they're going
like,
to run me ragged.
They're going to run me ragged. They're going to be really cruel. And then they're going to leave me a dollar on $80. It can be heartbreaking. That's when it gets like, honestly, emotionally.
I agree.
Awful. Like, did it feel really good sad. For you to make me cry? Like,
awful.
Yeah. There was this guy in Omaha when I worked at Buca di Beppo, and it was like a big table, and he had ordered a kitty
before
pasta.
Before you transferred to Chicago.
Yeah, before Don't I transferred
have, like,
to
a lazy
Chicago.
Susan
oh, yeah,
table?
The Pope table. We'll get into that. But this was not in the Pope room at the Pope table. It was just a regular old table. He was with a big group, and everybody was nice as pie, but this guy was so fucking mean to me. He was just like so rude and snapped at me, and then he had ordered like a kitty pasta for his kid, which was like coming, and he like it apparently didn't come quick enough for him and his fucking kid and his who he hates and his family he hates and his life he hates, and he like came up to me at the server stand and like grabbed he touched me he oh. like he
Ding.
Like pulled me
Strike
aside
one. So he touched you
and like demanded his kitty pasta and like And then, like, I was like, it's coming. I can get it out to you. And then when I brought it out, he, like, berated me in front of the entire fucking table.
I think this, too.
I was, like, 20, 21.
And you all here have, like, done different positions. So I think there's a level of treating servers shitty. And the first level is waiting tables. And you have to walk away. For some reason, it angers people when you're... And listen, there's plenty of bad servers out there that walk away and never come back. But there's something about walking away and they don't see what you're doing that makes them furious.
Mm-hmm.
Because bartenders are treated much better. There's so much more respect given to bartenders. And I think it's because...
You can be a dick and it's like, yay!
But no, people can see that you're busy.
Yeah.
So when you're a server, you walk away and they don't know what you're doing. And you could be like, you're probably not just standing with thumb up your butt, but that like incenses people.
So you don't know what I used to do once I got in that kitchen. It would just be like, thumb right up
right
the butt.
Well, that's cool.
And then put that thumb right on your plate. I'm carrying out to you.
Brooke, that's you being you.
That's me being me.
And there's
that's
nothing wrong with that.
Spider-Man it's like plate with my butt thumb.
That's how I put my spin on my experience.
Brooke, get out of the kitchen with your thumb up your butt. Okay.
But yeah, and then cocktail serving can go either way. But they're like cocktail servers are treated the shittiest. Then it's waiting tables. Then it's bartending. But yeah, like bartending, I think it's because people can see you and you're stuck behind there.
Of course.
And they can see that you're doing stuff. That they're not as angry or just maybe because they're drinking. I don't know.
No, that's when you just wait patiently and wait for them to like make eye contact with you so then you can order said drink.
And it's crazy the power shift where they respect the bartender having the power.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas when you're the server, they're like, no, I've got the power. I'm going to snap.
That's what I'm saying. It's
and
so
gesture
weird.
And yell.
It's
because
so weird.
I'm going
to
treat
like
this person
like
a dog.
Point at somebody. Like, then why is it okay to snap at me?
And a cool, actually, I will say the thing about being a bartender, anybody who ever fucking snapped and pointed at me, I would just ignore them. If I was busy, I'd be like, no, you're not, I'm not coming to you for a bit, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
no alcohol for all. You, asshole.
It's also a good reason that like I liked working at very busy places is because you could fuck with people who were like being shitty. Mm-hmm. You're like, actually, you didn't tip me last time. I'm not coming back.
Nope, sorry.
You can wait extra.
Well, and being a cocktail server, because I was a cocktail server at this place called The Cutting Room in New York City, which was owned by... Yeah. Chris Noth, ironically enough.
I missed that in the last episode.
Mr. Big. I forgot about that. Mr. Alcoholic.
Oh, my.
I loved how people, A, didn't respect. They were like, well, where's my drink? And I'm like, it's not on this tray with eight other, like, tipsy, right. topsy, like full fucking martinis.
Specialty cocktails.
While I'm in like 6-inch heels, because that's what you have to wear as a cocktail waitress, and like a red miniskirt, you fuck twad. I have said that twice.
You did.
I'm really gravitating towards
Mr.
it today.
Mr. Booze. Mr. Big Mr. Drinking. Mr. Booze.
So I will say, and I like this kind of is, so coming back to this like shitty experience I had at Buca, like, so sometimes in my life when... I don't know, maybe I'm like having like, I should have said this to a person, or like I'm having a shitty day where I'm like, bad things have happened to me. Sometimes I think about that fucking guy and how terribly he treated me. And I'm like, I should have told that guy to go fuck himself. But like, yeah. You can't, because like as a server, you swallow so much.
Yeah, you're also
shit.
You're not necessarily expecting it. Like I had this guy who was sitting, it was a lunch shift in New York, and he had been sitting there for like a good hour. Like he didn't want to order anything. He didn't want dessert. So 20 minutes after he had ordered anything, I brought the bill over. And as I started to set it on the table, he slapped my hand down and he was like, I didn't ask for the check. And it rattled me so hard that I immediately broke down and just kind of ran scattered to the back and started sobbing, because it's terrifying and unexpected. And, you know,
also mean dad. Who clearly, like, right. You're like, okay, I'm either being reminded of, like, being spanked or hit as a kid, or, like, just shitty fucking old grumpy male behavior. We were out. My dad's, like, only living ancient cousin or second cousin or something like that. I remember we were all out to dinner with him forever ago, and he ordered an old fashioned, which has, as we know, right, a cherry and an orange in it. Mm-hmm. She brings it over. I didn't know this as a kid, but I know now, and he... looks at the waiter and he takes a cherry out and he throws it on the table. He goes, I didn't ask for a goddamn cherry. And
wow.
You're like, hey, like everyone at the table's losing their mind. The servers like makes a beeline for the kitchen to go cut herself,
they
you know,
didn't
and
make it. She didn't
like,
make it.
What the fuck? And so it is managing all these crazy people's emotions on top of just like the stress of the job, which is like, so when people bring their like, it's not how my wife does it, you know, and you're like, what the fuck? Well, women are just as nuts. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah.
And when people walk into a restaurant, they always have this, like, air about them because, the customer is always right. And
people really take that to heart. Like,
yeah,
people
and as
really
soon
get
as
into
they
that.
Walk in, they are above you and you are beneath them. You are their indentured servant. And for the next, 2 hours or as long as they hold their table hostage, they are going to, you are beneath them. You are literally like, I'm going to have to wipe that fucking bench off that your child just like smashed Cheerios into.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's an unbelievable sort of like take you down a notch. It's a horrible thing to do. I would never treat anybody like dirt on the bottom of my shoe like some people do.
No, it's really rough. And so I think it's just like, it comes down to like entitlement, no spatial awareness,
not
touching you, snapping at you. What about customers who harass you sexually or flirt with you?
Oh,
that's fun.
God. Don't you love to be called like baby or sweetie or kiddo by an older man who could also like take your job from you?
You know, I have to say, I'm going to go on record. Didn't really get hit on ever as a server or a bartender. Real bummer. But the old guys who I used to serve Coney dogs to, when I started losing some weight, because I lost a lot of weight during that job because it was like I was not drinking. I was like on a really great schedule. You run your ass off when you're a waitress, you know, the whole thing. And I remember... the only pickup line I think ever served to me, he's like, oh, you just look like Delta Burke. Real attractive, just wow. Like Delta Burke. And I was like, damn it. So that's that. I mean, for me, like, that sort of, I've just witnessed it, unfortunately, with other women. I'm going to go on record. Never gotten a dick pic, and I've never truly been harassed as a waitress. I think I give a strong lesbian vibe in my life, so that's fine.
Yeah, it's about your vibe, too. Like, it's, like, about playing the game, right. And I was never going to play the game.
I had a steely facade.
Bartending definitely... brought the creeps out, especially the drunk creeps, especially the alcoholics in Chicago. There was a guy once who, because the House of Blues had the hotel next door, he was there. A lot of corporate parties happened at House of Blues, and I think this is during one of them, but he No, it wasn't. It was just like a normal Friday night, but he was definitely out of town and he was in town for the weekend and he wrote, I didn't talk to him at all, by the way. He just ordered whiskey. He had like five of them. And then he wrote on the napkin, room 406, the door will be open. See you soon. And left silently without even like nodding or saying anything. And like,
you were like, did I even wait on this guy? That,
like, right. Go show all your coworkers like immediately.
Amazing, yeah. If you sent a busboy up there instead.
Oh my God.
I've had a few times, this is like such a dumb thing to do, but men will buy me a drink from another server and then be like, sit down, have a drink
while
with
you're
me.
At work?
Yeah. And I'm just like, that's not how, what
huh?
is wrong with, like, they just feel like they're that untouchable.
It's a little wild.
Because you're like, so you want to do a good job. You're working, but then they're like putting your position to like, you have to be nice.
Yeah, like, no, you dirty fucking creep. Get away from me. It's such like a prison of your own. I don't know. I go through it all the time too, because at the place that I currently work, like, there's a lot of just like really high powered men in the business side of the entertainment world who are like real, like, good old boys. Who just sort of...
Do they pull up at pickup trucks with, like, gun racks? Or?
Oh, no. They pull up in Bentleys with
I know. I was just thinking of Bubba's. Yeah, anyways.
But it's just like this... Oh, God. There was this one guy who just comes in all the time, and he calls me babe.
That's
and tries to school me on wine. And he's always bringing in a bottle from home. And he's like, try some of this, Kyle.
Oh, what a fucking loser.
You're like, here's a $65 corkage fee.
I
want
to burn him in a fire. Yeah, okay. Ugh.
I don't know if you guys saw that video earlier this year of that waitress. Someone grabbed her and she turned around and kicked this guy's ass.
Yes.
And body slammed him to the ground.
It's the greatest
thing. That was...
thing.
So badass.
I cheered. I orgasmed.
Yeah. Because he actually tried to press charges and they were like, no, actually that was self-defense. Like, fuck you to the guy, which is great. But that's just, you can't talk to people like that. You know, I was walking down the street yesterday and these little boys at this nearby elementary school, maybe let's say they were 9. I'm not kidding. They're like, hey, what are you doing? Where are you going? I think your shoes are cool, but they weren't like nice. They were like the energy
antagonizing
was yeah. And I said, so then I talked to him for a second just to be like, yeah, I'm a person, because they were yelling at this other woman who was like a model. Like, we think you're pretty. They didn't say that to me. That's fine. But as I left, I go, hey guys, don't yell at girls on the street. It's not cool.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah, and then they kept yelling. They were little bastards. But it's just the behavior has to be learned. You can't grab women. I also don't know if you saw I saw this on Twitter. Some company, it was like not Procter & Gamble, but in Brazil they outfitted 3 different women in a sensory dress, like a mini dress.
No.
And sent the 3 women into a nightclub, and every time they were touched unwanted by a man, which was every time, the suit lit up. And so they had this whole thing, and then they showed it to men to be like, you see this? And the men were like, yeah, that's bullshit. That didn't happen. Like, they were like denying that it was real.
What?
Whoa.
Oh my God. I love the brush of the butt. That's what I always, people do that to me.
Oh, the God. Small of the back and the butt.
Oh my God.
And you know, in New York,
it's so rude.
And again, it's like, you'll be holding a tray full of stuff. You'll have like 10 specialty cocktails or, you know, somebody's hot food. And these guys are like sneaking in, touching your body. Like, it's really demented.
It's very demented, and if only I had experienced any of it.
I don't mean it in a way. I was pretty oblivious to like anything that might have been happening because I was busy doing my job.
There's just something. I mean, and to be honest, like, you just don't sort of know what to do in the moment because you're sitting here going, I don't want to lose a big tip for the night. So I'm sort of standing here eating this shit and putting up with it, and people don't get that, like, I'm not here because I want to be. Yeah. It's right. The job.
Yeah.
You want things, and I bring them
to
you.
I'm smiling because that's my job.
Well, and it's
not
like,
because I think you're cute or interesting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and it's always like the creepiest, crustiest old guy who is like, is chicks into me.
And it's like, I am too nice, but it's like, shouldn't you take that with like grace and kindness as well? No, of course not. People take that as like, oh man, she wants my peen. Like, it's just so, sorry. I'm just like, I feel like I have to walk into the fire in a couple hours and
yeah, get it out. Get it out.
You know, well, on, I mean, was there any other crazy?
Well, I mean, yeah, we had talked about the story where this guy
assaulted
the bartender after he cut him off. He had like a few margaritas and the guy like stabbed him or something.
Right. Well, that's
that's a Florida story, which that's, I'm more interested in hearing Kyle's Florida news.
Well, all I would say, because like, it's sort of like, as we talk about this, like, this is deep and sort of like, it's a bit of a venting episode, I have to be quite honest, because it's like, it's funny and it's not, because this is very much what, if anyone's listening to this as a server, you're just like, yeah, this is the part that's like really dehumanizing.
Yeah.
And the very real possibility that like customers are so nuts that they might actually hurt you or the staff. You've got all these stories of completely insane people who anyone's allowed to just come into a restaurant, as long as they're sitting down and throwing down money for whatever, they're allowed to be in there up until a certain point. There are like so many headlines.
Yeah, like try cutting somebody off without a security team to back you up.
Oh, sure.
Which I've worked in places with security teams, I've done that.
Or managers who don't back you up.
Who won't back you up.
Exactly. Yeah. That sort of shit. So there's just like all these weird safety issues where you're like, I'm scared of a customer right now and don't have a system that is going to look after me.
Well, and let's talk about abusing that power system. There was a man in in the Florida corner where hopefully it will be underwater in 50 years. There was a man who called 911 not once, but twice, to report a restaurant for having too small of clams. Like, he ordered a bowl of seafood and he called this restaurant. I mean, he called 911 and he's just like, hi, is this 911? And she's like, yes, yeah, I just said this is 911.
What's your emergency?
I'm at a restaurant and I ordered seafood and I've been trying to, and she's like, sir, is this an emergency? And he's like, well, maybe it's clams and they should have been bigger. And he just launches into this.
That's insanity.
Called twice. And what happened is, this is probably the only time justice has actually been served. He was the one who was arrested.
Thank God.
Yeah. Can you imagine though? Like, that's what people think Yelp is.
Yeah, it's entitlement. It's entitlement in its worst form.
And those people who are like Yelp superstars or whatever it called, you know that there's like levels of Yelpers. Yeah. And how, I mean, you can get somebody fired for yelping a bad review.
If your goal in life is to be a Yelp superstar.
I mean, listen to the word Yelp.
Please. Die in a fire.
Yeah. And let me light the match.
Baby.
Let me use my hair to light it.
Yeah, right.
People are like, hey, what's up? It's Kendra here. Just checking in about another disastrous experience where I walked in unannounced with a party of 18 and demanded a table immediately, and they didn't bow to my wishes. And then it always starts out like, so it was my birthday.
Right.
Like every Yelp review.
Yeah.
It's like, so it was my
birthday. And it was ruined.
And I'm a pretty, pretty princess. And I was on day 7 of celebrating it and demanding everyone around me to celebrate my birthday.
Is there an option to give negative stars? It's just, they're such evil humans.
If I could, I would. So if I may, I researched and I found this story earlier today about this journalist named Uba Butler, who tricked TripAdvisor and opened a fake restaurant and had a website, and he got it to the number one restaurant in London. So he called it the Shed at Deluxe, and it was like his shitty, I mean, not like, but kind of pretty shitty, but it was like £800
backyard,
a month,
right?
Flat, that he said was like the restaurant. And then it was like all al fresco outside. So you need two things in order to get rated on TripAdvisor. You need a phone number. So he bought a burner phone. and had a number. And then you have a website that he established. And so then he established a website and he did menu photos. And you can go online and look. And he had scallops and he used like toilet cleaning discs that you would like drop into a toilet that are like a disc and put like honey and things on it. And that was the photo of the scallop that he took to make it look extra appetizing. And he had ham hocks on the menu and he used the foot of his heel and like had an egg on it and like cropped the rest of his leg out. And like, that was the photo of the ham hock. Yeah. So he's flexible. So, and then it was like, so he got a bunch of his friends to write. So then boom, you're up, you're running, you have your TripAdvisor like profile. He got his friends to write reviews saying it was like a very eclectic, rustic, like on the menu, they serve mood foods, like whatever mood you're in or there. And that's what you get. So here we are. This is all happening. People start calling the number, and every time people call to try and get a table, he says, oh no, we're completely booked. We're completely booked. So he's not taking any reservations. He's just saying, we're completely booked. It keeps happening. More reviews come in. Other people are like, there's a buzz going about it. And 6 months later, there are 18,000, over 18,000 restaurants on TripAdvisor in London. 6 months later, his fake restaurant, which never opened, was number one on TripAdvisor in London. So like they're like, well, I guess we have to open up for one day. And so they open up. They open up for one day and get like shitty tables. And this guy, like Uba, is like, I don't even have any money to like serve these people. So him and his chef friend go get frozen dinners and then put microgreens on it. And so they're serving like dollar, like 1 pound like frozen meals to all these people. And they say it's a precedent, so don't charge anybody, so nobody can like be sued or anything. And they have one service, and then everybody's like, I mean, I'd come back. This place is great. One guy is like, oh no, like what they served, like it was like something I would have eaten like as I was when I was a kid. Like, but it's just interesting to me to like, well, kind of like make fun of all the people. Yeah, yeah.
Just like rating how customers
I found out. I thought it was such an amazing story.
Well, and you've got that that Gordon Ramsay restaurant, Amy's Bakery, where they were like, have you seen that? It was like a kitchen nightmare where he went in and they had all these bad Yelp reviews. And the owners were convinced that there's a conspiracy against them from Yelp because the customers aren't always right. Like these people were bananas crazy. And they went back for a checkup, but like Gordon refused to go because they were so terrible. That was when he walked away from it. It was like, yeah, I can't fix this. Sorry.
They're trying to get us. I mean, yeah, with that customer situation, well, that's, I don't know, that's not exactly a customer. That's just someone being a shyster.
No, for sure. Yeah. And that was kind of like, you know, I was researching like how customers can be shysters, and this was kind of like the weird flip.
Yeah.
You know, so.
To just kind of like stick it to stupid reviewers.
Right. So, exactly. You know, you've got customers or people. It's hard to call people customers who come in and just want to cause nothing but chaos in a restaurant, who are there to actually do harm.
Customers.
Or like people who, you know, will be like, oh, I have broken glass in my bag and now I'm going to sprinkle it on my salad and now I'm going to sue you for all that you're all worth. Like,
but that's like such that becomes a level of like, do they need to go to jail? Like that level of entitlement that bleeds over into the idea of I'm going to try and get all of my meals for free by being a fraud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like slip ons. They've slipped or fallen somewhere in the restaurant, right?
Let's put them in a cell with Clam Guy.
Clam Guy is a real troublemaker. I got to say, for all the times though that I have actually had gross things happen, I've never been actually caught. It's a funny thing. I think the world is like full of give and take, you know? Because I used to, I remember I was making some sort of coffee blended smoothie situation at one of my jobs forever ago. And I remember I poured two of them and both people had walked out the door. And then I was like, where's my Band-Aid? And my Band-Aid had slipped off my finger.
Oh,
and
went.
That's
a rough one. I can handle hair and stuff like for the most part, but a Band-Aid, I don't
think
I'm
there's
afraid.
Like laws Never and rules about the number of hairs that can actually like be in your food until it's like a legal problem.
And I worked below Cooley Law School, where Michael Cohen, Trump's shitty lawyer, went to college for law, which is the worst. Well, because of it, it's a bad law school. Nobody, there was no litigation.
Sorry, he's individual one, please. Thank you.
Individual one. Yeah. Sorry. Individual one that Michael Cohen helped out. But anyways, it was kind of funny because I used to serve drinks to people in law school. Jeez. Nobody came at me with a major lawsuit for the Band-Aid good. In their drink. So that's good.
Ew.
We had it was just like one memory I have of someone found like a bug in their salad, and my awesome manager at the time was like, well, you know, lettuce grows in the ground in the dirt.
No, that's like, happened to me too. It was like organic. A natural. Yeah. It was organic. Yeah. And they were like, hey, listen, it's organic. There's no pesticides. And also, it's never the server's fault. They don't make the food.
I know.
Nobody wants these things to be happening. They just want to make money and leave and go do whatever else they're really trying to do with their life. Like, nobody is like, I'm going to get them with this bug. Eee! Like, don't take it out on the server. Don't take it out. It's...
Don't
not
shoot the messenger.
Did anybody ever have a dine and dash on your when you were serving? Anybody ever dine and dash you?
Yeah.
I mean, not me, but my friend Stacy worked at a Pop Burger in Meatpacking District as well, and had a table of like 15 people come in, and it was an awful restaurant because it was like insane house music with like really intense lighting.
Really bad burger joints in New York. That
yeah, she had to wear like a white wife beater and like skinny black jeans and heels. And this entire group of people, she went to the back to like run one their credit card, and they left, and the credit card declined, and her manager tried to make her pay the $3,000 bill.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
I think she either got fired or left because of that.
File that under the shitty owner episode.
That's a terrible story. I mean, God. I'm sure I got dine and dash, but I don't remember anything. Not anything like,
can you imagine, like
to that extreme.
Sudden panic of like a $3,000 bill and somebody just walking out on it?
Absolutely. Because like panic for also that tip that you're maybe calculating in your head that you think
you're
just got.
Shoved in such a place of shitty that, and it just, it's emotional, it's financial, it's like so many things. It's so sad. Like, really be nice to your servers. Unless they suck. I mean, there is a point where servers, as somebody who's waited tables, I go sometimes and I'm like, I can't believe how bad this service is here. Like, what is going on? But try to be understanding and know, like, because
everybody has a
bad
day.
What's their fault
too.
And what isn't? Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, I'm having a really bad day and I'm trying to be my peppy self, but it doesn't always happen.
There's an episode of Frasier where here we go. This is a Frasier segment. There's an episode of Frasier where I
Y'all
believe it's Frasier and my what's his brother's name?
Miles,
thank you. They're out to eat and the server comes up and one of them says, like, this pile of money represents the tip you might get, and every time you do something wrong, I'm going to take money away from this pile. And like, it's this runner through the whole, because it's like, you know, the B storyline or whatever is going on. And so it's happening through the entire episode. And I just remember seeing that for the first time and being so angry. Like, and just being like, everything's so funny.
Someone,
and like,
if someone did that to me, I would walk over and throw a lit match onto their pile of money and be like, now nobody gets
that. Swing arm. Get out.
Exactly. We are so excited to talk to our very special guest this episode. He's a very talented comedian. He has a podcast called Recently Added, which is about Netflix. It's really fun. I was on it. I'm trying to replace one of the hosts, but don't tell Charles. We're so excited to introduce you all to Nick Turner, everybody.
Nick Turner!
Thank you. Welcome back to Sidework. Of course, I'm your host, Nick Turner, the guy who guests on a podcast and steals it every time. You should have known when you booked me. My first guest is Brooke Van Poplin. When we first had the idea for Sidework, did you ever envision it would be my solo project?
I didn't. It's kind of like being purchased by a corporation.
Yes.
You know, it's like we did the grassroots. We started from the ground up, and then Nick swooped in.
I came in and I said, thank you, next.
And I was so excited when you said that you waited tables, because I can't picture that.
Yeah, people have a hard time picturing me with any job.
It's really tough.
Where, like, I would go in someplace and people would be like, thank you for coming in. Here's money. You know, that's not been my forte.
No.
Throughout my life. You know, I burned hot and fast in the food service industry. I probably did, you know, 4 or 5 years.
Okay. And was this back
starting
to
at
back?
18, got it. College.
Wow. Okay. So, and where were you around age 18? You're East Coast, right?
East Coast. I went to George Mason University.
Okay. And where's that? What city?
That is in Virginia, in Fairfax, Virginia, right outside D.C. And Old Town Fairfax, I worked at a restaurant there called Seasons.
And why was it called Seasons? Did it have seasonal fare?
No.
Seasonal hours?
It never
and availability?
Changed.
Nope. Okay.
I don't know. It was, you know, like a town. Old town. There weren't that many restaurants. I mean, actually, no. I mean, that's
wait. If
true.
You were in old timey Virginia, was there a Civil War sort of reenactment
still going on? Yeah.
Yes.
No, this was a time traveler situation. No. This is right outside D.C. There weren't as many. There weren't like a bunch of battlefields right there.
Okay.
We were in the thick of things. That's where I met the woman I lost my virginity to.
Oh, hell yes.
Yeah,
in
the
a
industry
restaurant.
Strikes again.
The industry just sullies you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oof. You just do not come back out clean as a whistle anymore. You just don't.
No. You know, I narrowly, is that the girl, the next guy she dated, she got pregnant from, had a baby.
Hell yeah. That is some restaurant drama.
I couldn't
baby
imagine.
Mama drama at Seasons.
I just have, you know, like the first girl, I'm 18, she gets pregnant. Because that's the thing. She had the baby, so she would have had it then.
She would have had your baby.
She would have had the baby.
You could have been a father.
And
that kid would almost be.
This is my biggest regret.
This is your, well. I want to know, what was the cuisine at Seasons? What was their specialty?
It was just like, it was like upscale American fare.
Okay.
You know, different, you know, like, maybe, you know, they had some tenderloins and medallions of
butterflied
various
proteins. Pork chops?
Yeah, some chops. Yeah. Yeah, it was all right.
What do you feel like the food was good? Did people enjoy? Or,
I think
or again,
so.
It was a lack
yeah,
of choice?
Yeah, it was
choice?
Like definitely. I mean, especially in college because, you know, you're never poor. Well, so I thought. But I, you know, it was a place I would never eat because it was too upscale.
It was a little bit of a white napkin situation?
Oh, hell yeah.
Got it. Was that some of your side work back in the day?
White
napkin
yeah.
folding?
Oh, hell yeah. What I love about the folding of the napkins is how many there are.
Oh, it never ends.
Mm-hmm.
Just when you think you've got through your pile of 100,
yeah.
Someone heaps another pile in front of you.
It's nothing like marrying ketchups.
That doesn't seem like a place that would put ketchup bottles on the table, though.
No, I don't know. I was thinking that more of my TGIF.
Oh, we're going to get there in a second. Okay.
Years.
But real quick, I want to ask about the technique of napkin folding that this restaurant required. Do you recall?
Oh my gosh. You know, this is 20 years ago and I smoke more weed than Jocelyn. All right.
If you
good
can
Lord.
Recall.
Well, no, I mean, I've never worked anywhere where there was like a swan sitch.
Fair.
So
no catering.
I can't imagine. I will never remember what the folding stitch was.
I was just curious because I find rolling silverware in linen,
yeah.
Incredibly repetitive and soothing.
Uh-huh.
And I would get into the zone and I would kind of decompress from the night of waiting tables because that's, you can't just go home. You
yeah.
got to do your side work before yeah. you're cut, before you're done for the night. And that was always one of my favorite odd but annoying ways to just decompress and just
yeah.
roll and stack those silverware cutlery together. And
I felt the opposite. I can't, it's so infuriating to be done with that. It is, it's such a, you know, there's so much adrenaline.
Oh yeah.
Like it's the hardest job. It's nearly impossible for anyone to do this right. And then like after all that, after just like, you know, fighting with your managers and your tables and the line and the bussers.
Everybody.
And the hostess.
All you do is fight and negotiate with everyone
yes.
all night before you even get to the customer.
Yeah. And then at least once a night, you know, it's like,
wait a minute. I definitely did not put an order in 45 minutes ago. So all that and all that stress. And then at the end, you're like, here's some tedious crap to do. And you're like, are you kidding me? I just rocked Wembley Stadium. And you want me to come here and like use a vacuum that doesn't even turn on?
That's sort of like Queen's comeback at Live Aid. And then they were like, can you sweep the stadium after everyone's gone?
Oh, you used a lot of glitter, guys.
Yes.
You get out there with a broom.
So do you think you were good at your job as a waiter?
Oh, my God. No. I didn't have a lot of passion for it.
Nope. Okay. So say when you even just put on the waiter smile. Give me a spiel. Give me a Nick Turner approaching a table.
I'm sorry. I'm so sweaty. What do you guys want? We have three flavors of wine. What?
White, red, and pink.
I'm sorry. I'll be back in 20 minutes. I got to go take a smoke break. I'm taking a smoke break.
Did you do it at all once you moved to New York City? Brooklyn?
Yeah.
Manhattan?
Yeah. Really? That's where I worked at Friday's Times Square.
Please, let's begin this story.
Yeah. Well, before that, I'd worked at Olive Garden and Ruby Tuesdays in Richmond. I left Seasons, you know, because school ended. I quit school.
Do you have a college degree?
No.
Me neither.
Hell no.
High five.
High five.
You're doing great.
And so I left, and then I went home and I got a job at Ruby Tuesdays. I got a job at Olive Garden. I got fired very quickly.
Really?
I got 3 demerits like in a week.
I'm curious because I've never worked at a chain restaurant.
Yeah.
What can get you a demerit at
Olive
Garden?
I didn't bring my tie.
Okay, you know, so yeah, of course. No, they're big on their stratified, structured look.
You know, families. Everybody has to wear a tie.
Yeah, of course. When you're here, your
you're
family,
wearing a
you're wearing a tie.
Damn it! I spilled a tray full of wine on a lady's head. Not one, not two, but maybe 8. All on a lady's head, and it wasn't that bad because she worked at Red Lobster, which is the same company, owns it, and so she was getting a 25% discount for her table. So she was like really nice and gave me a huge tip.
That's pretty cool.
But things like that. And then, three flavors of wine is a real quote from my first day at Olive Garden when my first table asked me what kind of wine we have. And I said, we have three flavors.
All three flavors. All three.
Hey, look who's here.
We got all three of them. Joss. Whoa. Are you freaking out?
It's raining.
How are you?
Good. Well, just kind of get in.
But it just started raining.
It did.
Yeah, sprinkles.
Yeah.
So.
Cool.
Hi, Hank.
Just to get you up to date here, Nick is
Olive Garden.
Nick is telling you about Olive Garden.
Got fired. Here's the day I got fired.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. You know, you wanted to
No. Just letting you know, he walked up to a table and said, we have all three flavors of wine after spilling a tray of about 8 drinks onto a woman's head.
Yeah.
So that was demerit number 2?
Well, yeah. Okay. And then the day that I got fired, I left my book with all my money in it, you know, for the night.
Okay.
At the phone in the front, the payphone.
The stand.
And then, you know, I couldn't find
Post
it.
Stand.
And so, well, you know, even further than that, right by the door. So it's just like anyone could have walked by it. And then I looked around the restaurant for a while and I couldn't find it. And then I finally found it. There was no money in it. And I couldn't like pay out at the end of the night.
Ooh.
And
someone got you.
That was it, yeah.
But your negligence caused someone to steal from you.
Yeah.
And so ultimately it was your fault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this all happened in less than 2 weeks. I was very bad. And then somehow I lasted at Ruby Tuesdays for like 7-8 months.
Ooh,
and then
honey
got
butter.
Out of there just before, you know, I got the axe. And then on TGI Fridays, Times Square, yeah.
I'm glad you walked in for this because
how did I not know that?
The biggest the biggest TGI Fridays in the world had 3 full levels. There was an entire restaurant downstairs, like extra restaurant that they only opened during Christmas because they have so many people.
Oh my God. Now, were you seasonal with them or did you, how long did you stay at TGI Fridays?
Oh, I was there.
Times Square, New York City.
3, maybe 4 months.
Okay.
I thought you were about to say years.
I did too. And I was like, Nick, I did not know.
Yeah.
4 years.
Wow.
No, no, no. All everything I can tell you is months. Every job that I've had is months.
Now, I want to know a little bit of the inner workings of TGI Friday, because I was telling him I was thoroughly fascinated what constitutes demerits at Olive Garden, because I'd never done a chain restaurant
in
my servitude. And so I kind of want to know the flow. Were you a flair kind of guy?
Yeah. You know, I had the, I mean, it was everything. It was suspenders. It was, you had to wear a hat. The flair wasn't like that intense.
It was just on your, it was encouraged. Suspenders, no?
Yes. Yeah. You just put it on your suspenders. It's encouraged. The hat, the suspenders are mandatory. And then like, you know, you can kind of get away with whatever kind of flair you got going on. But, you know, you wear some.
And when you're at TGI Friday in Times Square, just because I actually never went, I would imagine it's just people from the Midwest trying to feel comfortable in the scary big city.
I mean,
comfortable. It's the biggest TGI Fridays in the world.
There is 0% chance you could have respect for someone that goes to Times Square and eats at a TGI Fridays. It wasn't even cheap. You know, it's like I worked there. This was pre-9/11, like the month before 9/11.
Wow.
And it was $15 for a hamburger. Just wow. A regular hamburger was $15.
That's now price.
That is 18 years ago. 17 years ago. Incredible. I hated it so much. No respect for it. I had to wear a white and red striped shirt that just like really sucked on my body, you know, and then you get cinched in with those suspenders. And I couldn't, and I sweat so horribly. Every restaurant is a million degrees. I will sweat in a snowstorm. Me, I spent so much of my time serving just in the freezer, just trying to like.
I feel you on that. Just get a little air. Just something.
Alone I just time. Can't. I'm just sweating over everything. Off. I swear, like when I go to a table, and you know, I'm just like, I'm sorry, you got me.
Were people ever like, this tasted so much better in Ohio? Like, this is a bad, like, were people, like, complaining about the, like, it being familiar?
Or I like the person who's like, this is the best.
Right.
New York version of an up tower.
Surf and turf.
But it's not just people from America. It's mostly foreigners.
Right. So how's the tipping sitch? Because I worked in Soho, and it was brutal.
And that's the thing about stereotypes is when you're a server, all those are true.
Yeah.
It is, and it's a topic that I want to find a way to get into, but you can't get
we'll
into
have it
without,
on a different episode. Yeah,
exactly, without being, and it's not that you're being offensive, you just literally witness things over and over again, but everybody who's a waiter has these prejudices.
Yeah.
And it's just based on the money you are or are not making.
Yeah. And, you know, say what you will about people from America, but yeah, nobody else tips
besides
Americans. Nobody tips that much.
And they're like, listen, I came all the way here. I'm going to keep pretending like I don't know this.
Oh, absolutely. And of course, and they
get... Because also it's like, why, it's such a high tip too.
I did chase a guy down once at that Friday's. So you didn't, and he gave me, he pulled out a 20 and gave it to me.
Good, because I was going to say otherwise, they'll give you the slip real quick. They'll just get into the fray in Times Square. You'll never find him again. Never again chasing someone out the front door.
Oh, not that he didn't pay the bill, that he didn't tip me.
Yeah, good for you.
You know, it was like a big table and like I, you know, bent over backwards and I was like, no.
Nobody.
He's like, all right. Wow. Here's $20.
Where was he, American?
No.
Okay. Damn. Yeah. No wonder you stayed for like 3-4 months tops because... Would Dirty Elmo come in and take a break at the bar?
No. Okay. There was no Elmos back then. It was still Utopia. It was still
Naked
like,
Cowboy? Come on.
Right there, the tail end of the Giuliani era.
Utopia.
Yeah, where Times Square was the most the cleanest and freest of those rats in costumes. there's like every other costume character is Elmo.
I know. Everyone.
You ever see 8 Elmos just having a cigarette?
I have a question for you.
No, the most famous person to come into TGI Fridays while I was working there, AJ McLean.
Ooh, daddy. That's a Backstreet Boy?
I knew that.
Because this was 2001. This was.
Oh, my
was
God. Didn't they just everything. Release The Call?
Yeah, I think it was the Black and Blue album.
Oh, my God. That's The Call is the first track.
Incredible.
Brooke, it is one of my favorite songs in my life. You can hate on Backstreet all you want. There are some hits in there, ladies and gentlemen. My first and foremost being The Call, which is mostly sung by AJ McLean.
Wow.
AJ McLean. Had the very... Yeah. Tapered facial hair?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yes. He could like really belt it out. And he used to like have problems with, I think, alcohol and drugs. And now he's sobes.
Good for him.
Well, I think he had a relapse this year.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
He made the news.
Yeah.
So now my question for you, speaking of that, because we can't not talk about our terrible substance dependencies while waiting tables, etc. How did that go for you?
Oh, great. we used to go to this bar in Times Square after, you know, every shift, whatever. Times Square prices are insane. I don't know why we would do that.
Yeah, just go a few streets down.
I guess we were getting good deals or whatever because we would go there all the time. But I remember I had my 21st birthday at this bar while I was working at TGI Fridays. And, you know, I was like telling everyone, hey, it's my 21st birthday. You know, but I'd been going there for months. You know,
whoops.
You should probably not do that. But, you know, I didn't. I was never, a snorter. Just to smoke.
Oh, this is very important. You don't know this yet. Brooke and I have never done cocaine.
Never.
Oh, congrats!
Thank you.
It's fun.
Oh, so you dabbled later?
Yeah, I'm a cool guy.
Fun. We just think it's an interesting thing about us.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a little fun friend pact that we have where we were like, we're never doing cocaine. Pinky.
That's great.
Here.
We've had cards made. We pass them out.
Crack?
Yes.
Okay.
It's cheaper.
Sure. Sure.
It isn't as whack as they say.
Oh.
So I want to know. Okay, I'm trying
Jocelyn to. Jocelyn just passed out, if you don't know.
She likes edibles. So I'm trying to picture you doing the dreaded trail shift when you're new at a restaurant. You know what I'm talking about?
When you're training.
Yeah,
training.
Like mirroring or not mirroring, shadowing somebody.
When you're miming, exactly, face to face.
That is, restaurants don't have like a system set up. Not it's really. Always, you go in and they're like, oh yeah, hey, Jocelyn, this guy's going to be following you all night. And she's like, great. It's not helpful in any way. They don't give him a bonus.
No, nobody
just,
tips
extra. They have
to do a
bunch of extra work. And then, like, maybe they'll give you, like, a couple tables, you know, like the tip from a couple of tables just because, like, to be nice.
Yeah, that would be very nice.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, nobody's happy about it.
But it's not, it's like, why don't you give that person $50?
Right, give them $50 for the training shift because they showed up, they did their part, and there is nothing more
awkward.
Incentive
for the trainer.
Oh, the trainer.
Just
I see
like,
what
give
you're
them
saying.
A little bonus.
Yeah, you know when you watch like a movie from the 80s and the person's like, all right, what's up, new boots? I'm going to show you around. A few things you should know. But they're like really happy, and that is not how it goes in a restaurant. Yeah. People are like, oh, fuck. This is Brooke. She's training, so
she's gonna stand
literally
here
following
like
me
like a silent smiling turd who's not allowed to touch anything or help me tonight because you're like as the trainee
but she's constantly in my way.
Yep you're fucking up my flow, Brooke.
If she opens up her mouth, I will slap her. Mm-hmm. Every job I ever had, I was always like the bottom, whatever, like, you know, the newest hire, last in, first out. Never had any clout or anything. I don't know how to make money. I'm not good at being, you know, bullshitting with people, putting on a fake smile.
Yeah.
Dealing with an assistant manager. That was my downfall most of the time. The assistant manager.
You an authority, which assistant managers have a very,
cause they're the dumbest
sense.
Class of people.
They're really bad. Do you remember any, scuffles you had with assistant managers, owners?
Yeah. Well, at Fridays, I got suspended for a week because I went up to the manager and I was like, you know, I hate, there's some bullshit manager code, you know, that I needed to take something off or something. And he was like hanging out with the other managers, whatever. And they were just like at the bar. And then I was like, oh, I need this. You know, like, I'm in the weeds and they're not doing jack shit. And I was like, I need this. And then he didn't do anything. And I was like, and then I came back like 5 minutes later or something. I was like, yeah, I'm going to need you to do that now.
Well, you don't say that, you know, to an assistant manager.
Whatever. And then
enjoying his apple teeny.
And then I got suspended for a week. And then
trying to take care of a customer.
Yeah, I'm like, you're literally fucking sitting here. You're doing nothing. And also, your brain fell out of your head before I met you. I don't have any, I couldn't have less respect for whatever you think you're doing. This little power play you're doing over me. Whatever. You won, bro. You're wearing no suspenders.
who's got the blame?
Congratulations.
Huh?
Nick, we do a segment on the show called Here's a Tip, and we're just wondering if you have any advice you'd like to offer.
Yes, I would like to offer some advice to waiters on the order of which they bring out food. The number of times, you know, I've ordered an appetizer and it's come out with my entree or after, I mean, blows my mind. Leave it. I will eat it cold later. I just need to be on the table. I need this satisfaction of thinking I got food before I got the other food. Also, at plates. If you bring me out an appetizer and you haven't brought me at plates, I am absolutely furious. Also, water. If I ask you for more water and you come and take my glass somewhere else and I can't see it and fill up the water and then bring it back, you bring me a pitcher or you bring me a new glass of water and then take my old glass of water.
Wow.
Anyway, that's just some things I was thinking about.
You guys couldn't feel that, but that energy was intense.
I think it's good to have opinions.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're still getting a 20% tip either way.
Yeah, it's great. Good. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, unless it's like totally egregious and then you get nothing and you get a talking to.
You get a talking to from Nick.
Yeah.
He gives you a little flop sweat.
Yeah. I don't sweat as much when I'm eating.
Put it on top of a salad. You know, it's like some cheese, pepper, and then a little...
Yeah.
That's sweat noise.
Yeah, I've probably dripped into some entrees. Drip drop.
There's no way you haven't.
No.
Well, Nick, thank you so much for talking to Jocelyn and I.
Yeah,
thanks. Dudes.
My only regret is that you never waited on us.
Well, there's still time.
There's still time.
The career is heading that way. So we will see.
Here's a tip. For ladies and gents who are listening to this podcast, and so I found out from a denim designer. I have a friend named Michelle. Also, I think you have a friend who designs denim, Kyle, maybe? Or is it like a stylist?
My dad was a denim designer.
Oh, well, that's
one of the many things he did. Yeah,
dad does everything. It's the coolest, craziest story. So here's a tip if you want to truly look fashionable in your denim, because it's all a struggle for all of us. You should always try and go up a size, possibly. It looks better and more flattering than squeezing yourself like a sausage into them skinny jeans. So always try and size up if you can.
Fair. I got a tip. No noodle chicken soup. Google the recipe. Chicken turmeric soup. Chicken turmeric, whatever the fuck it's called. It is so tasty. It's good. It's healthy.
I made it. You sent me the recipe.
I made it. I've made it. Yeah, I've made it 3-4 times. I'm going to make it when I get home. Do it. The season is upon us.
I've got a tip. My tip is if your headlight goes out, you can literally just go to AutoZone and buy the light. Sure. And either you can ask them to help you just like unhinge the like there's a part that comes out of the back, or you can YouTube it, or in my case, Brooke's boyfriend helped me out, but but for it cost me $13 as opposed to $100.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so if you bring it, if you know, rather than bringing your car into a place and having somebody else do it, just go to AutoZone and buy the little bulb.
Oh, I might have to come back for a second tip, but go ahead, Andrea.
This is something I found out through my own. I have a tile on my, which is a tile is a little electronic chip that it's a keychain, and if you push it, there's an app on your phone and you can call your keys, right? You can, like, I lose my keys all the time, and so you can open your phone and you push find my keys and it buzzes it, and the whole time This is more of like my own tip. I was like, God, if only this also called your phone. And I was fumbling with my keys. And it turns out if you tap the tile twice, it also calls your phone.
Right.
Whoa. So hot tip, if you have a tile and you just don't know it calls your phone, it also calls your phone.
Well, I was just going to go back again and say that here's a tip. When you want to be a lady boss.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Ugh. High five, Brooke.
Thank you. When the torrential downpour has put out your pilot light and your water heater, and Kyle and I spent a week taking cold showers without questioning what was going on.
Oh, no.
And then also there was another point where I looked at her, I go, have you showered in a bit? Because we'd both probably been on 3 days of not using hot water or something like that. And I was like, it's probably shower time, isn't it? We shower together to conserve. And I was like, shit. I was like, there's no hot water. I got to go figure this out. Always relight your pilot light with two people. Do
yes.
not do it by
Never
yourself.
Do it alone.
I didn't know that was like...
Unless you're me, I'd do it alone. But
okay,
when I go to my friend's house and stuff and light them, I make sure that they're there.
Perfect. You need someone to be holding a flashlight
yeah.
while you get down and dirty and look for that dumb little spigot to relight it. And also, let them know you're about to relight a water heater that's on the side of their house, and they should maybe take their dog and evacuate just in case you blow it sky high.
Come here.
What's up, y'all? If you like Sidework Podcast, and leave us a big fat old tip in the form of a review or 5 stars, because you know we're good for it.
Thank you.